Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15 tonight. And I want to read a few verses here, and then we'll go to Genesis chapter number 3 tonight. Chapter 2, verse number 15. And let's read down through verse number 17 tonight, and then we'll move over. The Bible says in verse number 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Look over chapter number 3 and verse number 23 of that chapter. "Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Father, I pray tonight that you add your blessing to the reading of your precious word. God, speak to our heart tonight. Give us what we need from your word. Lord, may we not see a man. Lord, may it not be about men. But God, may we see Jesus. And Lord, may you be glorified. We'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
You can be seated tonight. A very familiar passage of the Word of God this evening. Most of us are very familiar with the story of the Garden of Eden. Many of us began our early life having someone to read to us about the Garden of Eden. About every Bible story book that every child received when they were young showed a picture on the front of the Garden of Eden. You say, "Preacher, do you believe that it was a literal place?" Yes, I believe that it was a literal place. When I went to Bible college, I did not get saved in a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church, though I did get saved under a preacher that did preach the King James Bible and preach the Word of God, but not like the church you're sitting in. But when I got saved, God called me to preach 1 week later. And when God called me to preach after just a little while, they sent me to Bible college. When I got to a Bible college, it was a very liberal school. And when I got to that school, I sat under a professor. And the professor said to the class that I was sitting in, I just got saved. He said, "If you believe the first 5 books are the literal Word of God, then you must have something wrong with you mentally." He said, "It is not, listen," he said, "you can't take it as word for word." Now, I knew right then that wasn't who I need to be sitting around or who I need to be under. And I told him, let it on for a laugh. I said, "Sir, I said, sir, listen, there's a word for you in the Bible. Your name is in the Bible. And your name is fool." Amen. Anybody that doesn't believe the Word of God to be the Word of God from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, I believe is missing out on what God has for us. Now, when you look at Genesis chapter number 2, you seem to think that God is somehow depriving or somehow not letting Adam and Eve enjoy all that they could have enjoyed. Now, of course, you know the story, how that Adam and Eve were placed in this garden. It is a perfect place. Now, you've got to stay with me a moment tonight for us to get where I'm going. It is a perfect place. God's provided everything. You know what He said to them? There's one tree that you've got to stay away from. There's one thing that I don't want you to do. The rest of it you can enjoy. It's all yours. I'm giving it all to you. And you can enjoy it. But one thing you have to stay away from. And of course, you know the story, and I don't have to tell you that tonight. But Adam and Eve, of course, at first took of that fruit, and then Adam followed likewise. Eve blamed it on the devil. Adam blamed it on his wife. And before you know it, they sinned and they failed God. Now I want you to watch tonight. This began what I want to preach on tonight. And I'm not talking about the sin in the garden, but I'm talking about even before that. Here's how God gave me this message. Several months ago, a pastor friend of mine called me. He said, "Brother Hazel, I want to tell you something that happened this week at my home." He said, "Our next door neighbor is a type of neighbor that is very good about taking care of our place when I'm gone preaching. And said in long term, when they're gone, if they need something, we'll try to help them out. We're good neighbors side by side." And he said the wife of the man next door called our house the other day. And when he called our house, she called our house the other day. She said, "Brother Rick, I have a problem." She said, "We need some help." And Brother Rick said, "Well, what can we do?" And said, "If you could, I need you to come over, need some help." Said, "My children have two, and I don't know if you call them parakeets, whatever kind of birds they are, but said, have two of those tame domestic, those birds that live inside of a cage in the house. And said, one of them has got out and has flown out of the house, and my kids are all tore up, and could you help us find it?" So he goes over to the house. Walks inside the door, looks up in the corner of the living room, and there in the corner of the living room is a cage with a door open. One bird is in the cage, one is gone. He said while he was standing there looking, they went outside to see if they could find the bird, and they went outside and looked around. He said the whole time in his mind, he began to think this. He began to think something like this: "I bet that bird for a long time has been planning on when he's going to get out of that cage." I told him, I said, "Brother Rick, you've been in the ministry way too long to be thinking stuff like that." He said, "Preacher, I guarantee you that bird in that cage thought one day I'm going to get out of this cage, I'm going to get out of here, and I'm going to enjoy life outside of that cage." He said, "I looked up there and that door opened and an opportunity arose and that bird got out of that cage." He said they went outside and began to look for it. Looked and looked and couldn't find it. Couldn't find it in the afternoon. Couldn't find it at night. Then in a couple days they got a call. The lady just a couple houses over had found a bird there in the backyard on the ground. That bird had never flown outside with those wild birds. It had been attacked and its wings were damaged. And that bird was hungry and hadn't ate anything at all and was about to starve and was sitting up there in the yard. And they picked that bird back up and they brought that bird back to the cage and they put that bird back in the cage. And there in the cage was food. There in the cage was water. There in the cage was everything that bird needed to survive. So now you can open the door of that cage and that bird doesn't even look at it. I want to preach tonight on this thought. Bars of love. What that bird thought in its bird brain, amen, what that bird thought was, is that cage is to keep me in. That cage is there so I can enjoy life. That cage is there so I can enjoy being on the outside. But that cage was not for confinement. That cage was not there so that bird could not enjoy its life. But that cage was there to protect him and to keep him so he wouldn't get out in a world that he didn't know what to do with. Watch this. Inside of that cage was food. Inside of that cage was water. Inside of that cage was protection. And that bird had it all. Boy, I began thinking about that in my office one day and opened up my Bible here in Genesis and thought about that garden that God put Adam and Eve in. He didn't say, "Don't do this because I want you to miss out." But He put them there because He wanted to enjoy everything that He had to offer. There's a whole lot of folk that go to church and they hear the man of God preach and they say, "Oh, he just don't want me to enjoy life." There's some of you young people that go to church are in your parents' home and you think, "Well, my mama won't let me do this and my parents won't let me do that and I feel like I'm in a cage." But watch, that cage is not so you can enjoy your life, but that cage is to protect you. It's bars of love. When I was growing up as a teenage boy, stay with me, I'm going back to your Bible, stay in it. It won't all be about a bird in a cage. When I was growing up as a teenage boy, I had parents, and my mother cared somewhat about what I did. They weren't real strict. I praise God that God kept me pure, and I was glad I walked down an aisle and walked down it right. And my wife did as well, and we can be a testimony to young people across this country that God, you can do that and God can help you. But I want you to understand, me a lot of times I'd have friends that would say, man, my parents are throwing a huge party tonight and they're having a big shindig tonight and we're all about my friends are coming over and we're going to have alcohol and this and that and dancing and music. And boy, I used to think in that condition, man, that must be some real cool parents. I mean, they're letting them do all of that and have all of that. And in my unsaved condition, I thought, man, they must be really enjoying themselves. But what I did not realize, that's not the kind of parent that loved him. That's not the kind of parent that cared. But thank God, I'm glad I grew up with a daddy and had a belt. I grew up around a house. If you did wrong, buddy, hey, thank God somebody corrected you. They didn't let me run out half the night. They didn't let me do this, that, the other. Why? Because they loved me enough to protect me from the world. What scares me to death in fundamental, independent, Bible-believing churches is a lot of us live like we're in a cage to keep us from life instead of us to enjoy life. Now stay with me. Bars of love. I want to stop right here and I think I'll get a pretty good witness of the Holy Ghost of this. But aren't you glad tonight that God set you under? Aren't you glad tonight that when you drove down the road, you didn't stop by some liberal outfit? You didn't go somewhere where the minister has flip-flops and shorts and a tank top. Aren't you glad when you pulled in here, it ain't the Living Bible or the NASB, but aren't you glad you're sitting under an old-fashioned Holy Ghost-filled King James Bible preaching man of God and a church that'll correct you when you do wrong? You young fellas, remember the statement I'm getting ready to make to you, and ladies. The older I get, the smarter my daddy was.
Yes, sir, brother.
You say, preacher, why are bars of love so important? Why do I need bars of love in my life? Now stay with me, I'm going somewhere, but you got to grab it somewhere and hold on, all right? Why do I need those bars of love? Well, let's look at three things to introduce what I want to say. First of all, let's talk about nature. Nature. Everybody's nature, watch the phrasing, is to be free as a bird. Everybody's nature is just to go wild. None of us like to have anything that controls us. We all have a nature that wants to do what we want to do. And can I tell you this right now? Though I'm saved by the grace of God, though I love the Lord Jesus, read my Bible and pray, I'm going to tell you right now, there's still a nature, there's still a part of me. Until the day, thank God, I chuck it off and get out of this world, there's still a part of me that doesn't want to do right. But I've learned if I'll feed what I need to feed and stay inside the cage and stay with God, then God can help me overcome that. And resting on being on target with the message tonight, then the preacher made a statement that he didn't even realize, and I just listened. He made a statement. I was standing outside the door. A young lady gave me a lint roller because my daughter has a Persian white cat. And half the cat ends up on my suits a lot of times. It's a little sweet lady, let me get that off my coat. But I was standing outside the door, and here's the statement you made. He said, he told a lady, you need to get into a church. And said, I won't say it like you said it, but in reference, you need to get into a place where you'll be accountable. You need to get into a place where you'll be challenged with your word. You need to get into a church. Well, listen, can I tell you right now, you may not listen, and I know a lot of you do appreciate it, but can I tell you something? You better thank God that you sat under a preacher that's not afraid to preach this Bible. And though you may not like it all the time, and though it may be hard sometimes, aren't you glad you got somebody that'll challenge you with the Word of God to live right? One lady told me the other day, she said, "Preacher, when I leave church, I want to leave limping." She said, "Preacher, I want to make sure that my nature gets beat down so God can live in me." So God has to put bars of love around us. We have a nature. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. One day that bird looked out and said, "This is right. This is my opportunity to get out." And a lot of us are the same way. Hey, listen. There's some of you young people raised in a fundamental Baptist church, and you already know it. You wouldn't tell nobody. But you already think, "Boy, when I get old enough, I'm going to get out of that. Well, I tell you right now I got to do what mom and daddy says to do. Right now I got to say, but I'm telling you what, one day when I get old enough, I'm getting out of that cage. I'm getting out of that place." Can I tell you something right now? They ain't got you in something like this to punish you. They ain't got you in something like this to rob you of anything. But friend, this is the best part of your life. Stay right here. There's a world outside the cage that wants to destroy your life. I like what one man testified when he said, I appreciated this young gentleman right here in the middle. He said, "Wish I'd have got saved earlier." So you know what he's telling me when he said that? He said, "Life outside the cage ain't so good."
That's right.
Huh? Life out in the world's not so good. Bud Dummer, middle low life, not like junk's not so good. All that other mess is not so good. But I'll tell you what, if you get saved early on and grow up in something like this, oh, hallelujah, I'm so glad I don't have to go to bed at night and think about what I did yesterday. But thank God I'm inside the cage and there are bars of love wrapped around me. Nature. Then there's a second word I want you to think about, and that's negative. The Bible says, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For on the day that thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die." There's one word all of us hate, and that's no. Why is it? Brother Craig, why is it that they could have had everything in the garden? Everything but that one tree. Why is it that one thing that we think we gotta have, when God gives us everything else, why is that one thing always bother us? It's because we don't like being told no. I used to tell boys when I was racing motocross, "Don't ever tell me I can't do it." I broke a few bones proving them wrong. Found out I couldn't do it. Huh? We don't like to be told no, preacher. And sometimes we think, well, somebody's telling me no because they don't love me. But that's not the case. God tells us no. Our parents tell us no. Authority like our preachers tell us no. Why? It's to keep us inside of the walls of that cage so our life is not ruined. Listen to me. One of the things that breaks my heart, you with me? Say amen. One of the things that breaks my heart is to watch people that are saved begin to drift away from God.
Yes, sir.
As a pastor, I think if anything rips me up, that bothers me as much as anything in the ministry. I've seen people start getting in trouble And they'll make a comment to somebody, "Oh, I saw the preacher. He sees I haven't been here. He's going to get on my case." You know what they think? They think the only reason I'm getting on their case is because I'm trying to make their life miserable. The only reason I'm getting on their case is because I'm trying to show my authority. The only reason I'm doing that is because I'm trying to rob them of something in their life. Friend, that's not the case. I know what it's like outside the cage. I've been outside the cage. I know what it's like to live like that. Just like that bird did. Boy, if I can get out of here, door's open. 2 days later, when you're starving to death and you remember the water and the feed that was in the cage. You remember every now and then when the master would come by the cage and whistle and sing songs with you and pat you on your head. It was so comfortable in there. But now a couple of days later, you're out in the yard and it's raining and it's cold and birds are pecking at you and you're starving to death. You know which way you're going to go. And you're thinking, man alive, it was a whole lot better off if I was in the cage. It was a whole lot better off if I'd have stayed where I was at. Baptist churches are filled with people that have lost their joy because of their desire to get out of the bars of love. Won't y'all stay with me a minute, because here's my heart. Now listen. It breaks my heart to see people ruin their lives because they think people outside the cage are having such a good time. I got a question for you. If you were having such a good time outside the cage, why'd you get saved? If life outside the cage was so wonderful, why did you come to Christ? I'll tell you why I did. Every day of my life, I'd ride down the road singing songs by AC/DC. I'm on a highway to hell. Every night of my life, I'd go to bed and I'd lay that night afraid I was going to drop off into hell. Sat under a preacher that told me that. Had a mama that prayed for me. And every day of my life, I'd go outside and I'd be so miserable. Nothing ever satisfied me. Then one Sunday night, halfway down the aisle, I surrendered to God and God saved me and God placed me behind bars of love. There's a third word, and that word is need. Listen, the nature says this way seems right. The negative says don't tell me no. But the need is God knows what is before us and puts the bars up to protect us. Now listen to me. Those bars are for our protection. Now watch. Those bars give us some limits. Some would say, well, what do those bars limit? It must limit our fun. I want to stop right here and say something. I'm having the time of my life. Can anybody help me just a moment? I'm having the time of my life. Please don't feel sorry for me. I'm having the time of my life. You know, some people think, oh, you're a Christian. You can't do that. I say I'm a Christian and I don't want to do that. Been there, done that. Amen. Getting satisfied. Amen? Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, the world will come at you with both barrels telling you, man, you are being limited by them bars. Hey, I'm telling you, you can go down to our church and our preacher, he'll speak about 15 minutes on Sunday and then we'll leave and we don't have to come back at night. We don't have to come back Wednesday. And be honest with you, if you want to go to the country club, the preacher even go and have a little drink with you. People will say, but you go over there to that Rogersville Baptist temple. Y'all sort of limited, aren't you? Well, I bet if you do that, your preacher wouldn't like it. You know what I told my people the other week? If the only reason you live for God is because your preacher wouldn't like it, you better get something straight. Huh? I've had people hide from me at Walmart. duck behind another aisle. Had people to lock their door when you knocked on the house door. 20 minutes later, they let you in after they moved everything. Can I tell you something right now? If the only reason you're living for God is because of the preacher, if the only reason you're living for God is because of another member, friend, I'm going to tell you right now, the reason I want to live for Him is what Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. I love Him because He first loved me. Amen. I'm talking about bars of love. Now, let's go back to our passage we're in. Genesis 2, Genesis 3. I want to give you three simple things tonight. And I want you to think about it. Preacher, it is obvious to me that God is blessing your church. It's obvious to me there's an excitement. It is obvious to me there is a hunger. Where you folks are real blessed is a fact that you have the pastor you have. Now, let me tell you why. I go in a lot of churches, some 30, 35 a year. And a lot of times, I could probably on my hand count them. When I go into a church where the pastor wants God to send revival. Now, you listen to me. There's a lot of people wanting jubilees. There's a lot of people wanting camp meetings, and I have those at my church. I think they're good for the body of Christ. But there's very few today wanting an old-fashioned, Holy Ghost, God-sent revival. But you have a pastor that desires that. When God begins to bless the church like He's blessing you, then the devil goes after those that are behind those bars of love. Stay with me just a moment. I want you to see three simple things. I'll show them to you in your Bible. I want you to get a hold of them. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you've been at RBT. I don't care how long you think, preacher, you better preach that to somebody else because I'll never get out of the cage. I pastor people that I thought would never, ever, ever get out. They got out. You say, well, preacher, that wouldn't be me. I hope it would. But I want you to understand that it could. Genesis 3 verses 4 and 5. I want you to see here a subtle deceiver. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I want to put that verse into country boy terms of what the devil was saying to Eve. Here's what he was saying. God's holding out on you. That's what he was saying. What he was saying was, is the reason God don't want you to do that, because God knows something. He's holding out on you. He knows that you could be like Him. He knows that you can do this. So He's holding out on you. Now, I don't want to kill what you may think of God's men, but I'm going to tell you something. I've had many a time the devil's got on my case. I'm a church builder. I enjoy seeing churches grow. I think if a church isn't growing, it's dying. I believe in soul winning. People are to bring folks in that's lost and get them to God's house. And soul winning is important. But there have been a few times in my ministry where the devil said, you know, you got a kind of a charismatic personality. If you would drop some of those dress codes, if you would change a little bit of the music, I mean, look over there at what that crowd's doing. They've got 1,000 and you're here with 300 or 400. Could you imagine what you could have if you just just, you know, not just a little bit different. Remember the day of my ministry, I was struggling. Not that I was going to do it, but boy, the devil's on my case about it. And I was driving down a country road on a motorcycle, and God helped me. I come around the corner, and laying in the road was a dead possum. I dodged it, rode the rest of the day, went home. A few days later, I go down the same road. Same possum, but four times bigger. You say, preacher, that possum was growing. No, it wasn't. It was dead. But it was swelling. But it was still dead. Can I tell you something? I promise you, the devil is a deceiver. And he will deceive you with subtlety. And he will deceive you into believing that it's better somewhere else and that it's better outside of where you're at. I'm telling you, if you're in a good church and it's solid and an old-fashioned preacher, bloom where you planted. Subtle deceiver, God's holding out on you. I had someone some time ago made this statement to me that got out of our church. Well, preacher, we just wanted to try some other stuff. Deceived. A subtle deceiver. You know how he does it? He does it through people. He does it through opportunities, jobs. A subtle deceiver. The devil's not going to run up to you and dump a whole bunch of stuff on you and say, hey, won't you just get out of that? But he'll suddenly begin to put little things in your head. Well, that preacher just doesn't want you to enjoy your life. Well, that Sunday school teacher, he's not having any fun. God's holding out on you. A subtle secret. Listen to me. That bird in that cage might have saw another bird fly by the outside window. Maybe that bird thought, man, look, going there. He's up in that big tree and I'm in the cage. Lord, he's flying out there. Look at that. I'm in the cage. And all of a sudden, I don't know who speaks to birds. She likes it anyway. All of a sudden, that bird gets to thinking, you know, it might be better. Get out of this cage and fly outside. So one day the door's open. And he flies the coop. Gets outside the cage. And finds out the devil's a liar.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something right now, friend? He is a subtle deceiver. Second thing. Selfish desire. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to desire to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. In country boy terms, the first thing said, God's holding out on you. The second thing said, it sure looks good. Man, that looks good. You know what I've learned? This has helped me in my ministry not to get discouraged. Here's what the devil is real good about doing. He is real good about getting you to focus on negative. When you probably have a whole lot more positive in your life than negative. Do you understand? You can have two things negative in your life and 10,000 going on positive. And the devil will get you focusing on the negative. Because what he does, he messes with your mind. What he does is he tries his best to get you thinking there's something better than this. Selfish desire. Boy, I'm longing for this. If I can get out of this cage, I'm going to go get it. So your desire becomes selfish. Me first. And if I just get it, I'm going to enjoy it. So your desire leads you out of the cage. Boy, I'm so glad to have them bars behind me. Boy, I'm so glad I don't have to worry about that preaching. I'm so glad I don't have to worry about that anymore. I'm out of the cage. You could possibly get what you want and lose what you had. You could possibly get to the place in your life that you got exactly what you desire. But you lost what you had. Selfish desire. Bars of love. Thirdly, Genesis 3 verse 7. The eyes of them both were open and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. What I'm getting ready to share with you, I may not go any farther than what I'm getting ready to say and be done. There is something missing in what I just read. Not something missing that God should have put in. He put in what's there. I'm just talking about there's something that is not there. And don't you get a hold of it. There is a statement that Adam and Eve did not make. After they had ate of the fruit, they're now going to be banished from the garden. They're hiding from God as He shows up. But there's a statement they didn't make. Adam never looked at Eve and said, "I'm sure glad we did that."
Mercy. Yeah.
I'm sure glad that we did it. I have people come to me all the time. I'm not talking about unsaved people either. Saved people come to me all the time. The most miserable person you will ever meet in your life will not be someone unsaved. Though they can be miserable. But the most miserable person you'll ever meet in your life is someone saved. Someone that's had those bars of love. God had them in place. And one day they decided they wanted out of the cage. And they got out. But it's different when they come back. Now I don't know why God wanted me to preach this tonight. It really wasn't the direction I was going. About halfway through the day. But I want you to listen. It wasn't long ago, I was pastoring in Burlington. One Sunday morning, we had a service that God just moved in. And it's a powerful service. And I mean, it was one of those where you could just sense the Spirit of God moving. The service ended. I was standing at the back door. People were coming out by me, grabbed my hand. "Preacher, hallelujah, that was good. That was good. Man, God showed." And then a man by the name of Jay came walking out the door. sung in our choir. Was a new family in our church. It was a man, his wife, and three kids. He and his wife sung special music. He come to me at the back door. He was weeping uncontrollably. I, in myself, I guess my lack of discernment, I thought, man, God's really touched him today. He said, "Preacher, I got to talk to you." And I said, "Jay, what's up?" He said, "Preacher, I got to talk to you." He said, "Can we go to your office? I've got to talk to you." He was weeping. I'm not talking about crying. Weeping. Shaking, weeping. This guy's 6'4", 6'5", strong man. Shaking, weeping. I said, "Jay, sure, come on down." He said, "I need my wife to come with me." We walked down to my office. Their little girl, right at 10 years old, just a month prior, had almost died in Chapel Hill Hospital in North Carolina. She had a very rare disease. Came a few steps from dying. He comes to my office, gets inside of the door, closes the door. His wife is bewildered, has no idea why they're there. And then he begins to tell me a golf trip with guys that he shouldn't have never went with.
Yes, sir.
To a place he shouldn't have never went. Met a woman he should have never talked to. Committed adultery. You stay with me a minute. That ain't even the bad part. He commits adultery. Nobody knows. This is in a different state. A long way away. So he thinks, okay, I tried this. This is not me. I shouldn't have never done it. Hopefully no one will ever find out.
Listen, church. Come on.
And the few months had passed. His daughter almost dies. He walks down to the chapel of Chapel Hill Hospital. His kid's dying. He gets down on his face and tries to pray for his daughter. And he can't.
Yeah. What does that say? Verse.
He can't even get through because in him he knows what he'd done months before.
Yeah.
He walked in my office that day. Here's what he said. "Preacher, my youngin' could have died. Because her daddy," and I'll add this, this is what he said, "stepped out of the cage. Wanted to try what everybody else was doing. Messed up his life." And he said, "I'm telling you that in front of my wife. I know I could lose her. I know I can lose everything. But," he said, "preacher, if I don't get this right and tell her I'm sorry, I'm never going to get back where I need to be. I might have to lose it all." You listen. He said, "Preacher, I should have listened." He said, "How many times have you preached and told us, don't surround yourself with the ungodly? Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. How many times, preacher, have you said..." But he said, "Preacher, you know what I thought? I thought, man, I can handle it. He just don't want me to go enjoy myself." Somehow God salvaged his family. But he never was the same again.
Right. Yes.
Never. You say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" Folks, if tonight you are a part of an old-fashioned church,
yes, sir,
with an old-fashioned preacher, and you believe this King James Bible, don't let the devil lie to you. Will you listen to me? This is the pastor in me coming out.
Yeah, preach to us, preacher.
Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you that it's better outside the cage. For those of us, my dear brother that testified, for those of us that have been outside that cage, it ain't so good.
Yes, sir, brother. Bye.
There's those of you sitting in here that you say, preacher, I would never do that. I'm going to tell you what you need to do tonight. You need to get on your face. And you need to say, God, I want to thank you for those bars of love. My mom is 84. She's about 5'1", 2". She got her new car just recently and she needed it because she has to take old people places. She's got the idea she's young. Still fixes hair, 84 years old, puts in permanence. Been doing it 60 years. I'm a preacher boy. I was the youngest of 5 brothers. Born 16 years after the brother next to me. I was a mistake. I had to move away from her. I live a couple hours away now. Sometimes I'll call her on Sunday and tell her I'm going to eat. She'll tell me, I've got chicken pie made. Just come on down here. You know how many times I want to turn down the interstate and go. But when I get to see her, I always lean over to her, kiss her on the cheek and say, Mom, I love you. And not just for being my mother. Because when everybody else had gave up on me, because that Sunday morning when I lost my dress shoes on purpose so I wouldn't have to go that night, she said to me, you're going dress shoes on, dress shoes off, but you're going tonight. Because of those bars of love, I leaned over and kissed her. Because it was on a Sunday night when I wanted to be somewhere else. I was there. And the Holy Ghost came by and tapped me and changed my life. I want to do a little different invitation, if I may, Pastor, tonight. If we could tonight, Brother Rackley, I want some of you in this building. How many of you in this building are a part of this church? You're a member of this church? Slip your hand up. I figure that's the majority. You can put it down. How many of you thank God you have a preacher that's got the bars up? There's some of you that have had times in your life when the devil's had you thinking. I tell people the greenest grass in my yard grows over the septic tank. Maybe tonight you're a young person. Girls, I use the example, it's because you're here. This is your mom and dad. There are going to be times when you're going to see these worldly folk and the devil's going to say, I'll tell you what, you sure are missing out. Let me tell you something. I promise you, if you're serving God in church and living for God, you're not missing one thing.
That's right.
For some of you young people in this invitation, need to hug your parents And you need to thank them for having you in an old-fashioned church with an old-fashioned preacher. There's some of you need to go to your pastor and thank him for those bars of love. I'm so glad. Because preacher, always in the cage, there's a little water and a little food. My needs are met. God supplies what I need. And this world has nothing to offer. Now I'm convinced while I'm preaching tonight, there's someone in this building that's battling with some temptation.
Yes, sir.
I am convinced in this auditorium that there's someone who say, preacher, I haven't got out of the cage. But there's been some temptation come along. For some young man, it might be some little girl. For some girl, it might be some young boy. For some man or woman, it might be just a little nonchalant flirt. For somebody in here, it may be looking at the world and think, boy, they've got it better than I do. Stay in the cage.
Yeah.
It's not a cage of confinement. It's a cage of protection. Let's stand our feet with our heads bowed tonight. Every head bowed just a moment. Every head bowed. Our pianist comes tonight. Holy Ghost of God.
Yes, Lord.
God, I plead the blood of Jesus right now. God, you're wanting to do some great things at RBT, Lord. You're wanting to move. And God, that means the devil's working overtime. He'll try to do everything he can to get us out of the cage. Lord, I pray tonight that we'll realize we have it so much better than the world. God, it's a joy to serve you. There are benefits to backing our pastor. There are benefits to having godly parents. Thank you for bars of protection. With our heads bowed, many have already come to the altar. I want to ask you a question, every head bowed, every eye closed. Here's what I want to ask you tonight. If you'd be in this service and you'd say, preacher, I'm saved. Know I'm saved. But preacher, there have been some things that the devil's been tempting me with. He's been trying me. Preacher, there are some things that I've been wrestling with. And let me say real quickly, it's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. It's a sin to yield. I wonder tonight if there'd be one individual, not me, there'd be more. They'll say, preacher, there's been many a time the devil's tried to convince me that it's better outside the cage. And I just want to know tonight that God is going to help me stay where I need to be.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.